Chapter 2 of the book of Galatians tonight. Chapter 2 of the book of Galatians. I got to ask a question tonight. How many know a drama queen? Are there any of you in here who admit that you are a drama queen? You got one that says yes. Okay. I can't believe anybody to say I would do. All right. Tonight's message is very simple in the title, Death Decimates Drama. Death Decimates Drama. Go to Galatians chapter 2, and if you go down with me, verse number 16, book of Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And verse 20 is really a text that we ought to go to often in our daily walk. But let's notice here within the context. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen to faith. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's go back to verse 20 and read that again. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Read it with me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much this evening we can gather together. Thank you for the word of God that's so rich and real and marvelous. We pray that, Lord, all the distraction of the day, all the things that took place, that be behind us so we might focus upon you, allowing you to speak to our hearts. Spirit of God, somehow you take preaching and minister the hearts, and we're very thankful for that. We've experienced it from both sides. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless tonight, work, and we'll just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All drama between individuals, whether it be in family, there's some family members that are dramatic, isn't that true? Or in church, there's always some church members who are dramatic. Or in the workplace, there's always some fellow workers who are dramatic. All that ceases when you die. Do you hear me? All of that ceases when you die. Do you know all the disparaging words that can be spoken when you die? They're done. They're done. Do you realize that in the grave your feelings have died and you don't feel anything anymore? Words and actions that may be against us are no longer felt. Interesting concept. No wonder some people look forward to a time that they can just be gone and away. And all of those things, they are gone. I believe this is what makes living in the Spirit so related to our interactions. I'm talking about our relationship one with another. In Galatians chapter number 5, verse 14, I'm going to read several verses. You can turn there if you want to. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, for all the laws fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. This I say then, Now notice that. He says, this I say then. After he's talked about biting and devour one another, he says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. The topic at hand is really this. Are you living in the Spirit? Are you living in the Spirit? Can you honestly say that your fleshly appetite is completely controlled by the Spirit of God? Can you say that? I don't believe any of us, if we were honest, could say that completely. Perhaps there's times, perhaps there's a good deal of time, but most likely there's some times that's not true. For we even find the Apostle Paul wrestling with this in Romans chapter 7. But I want to ask this question in regards to it. How can we determine if we truly walk in the Spirit? Would you think that'd be important? If we're walking in the Spirit, we're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, and we are what? We are in great fellowship with God. And matter of fact, I find that if I'm understanding chapter 2 enough, that when I'm in fellowship with Him and He's living in me, I'm dead. And that's a great place to be. How can we determine if we truly walk in the Spirit? Is Christ really at the center of your life, or are you? Is Christ really at the center of your life, or is it you? You know, there's some things we need to get very honest about. Oftentimes we think, well, the preaching's for somebody, and boy, I hope somebody's listening tonight. Well, it ought to be us. And we'll be listening to the Spirit of God as He seeks to teach us, I hope, something tonight. I want to ask you this question as I think about how do we determine if we truly walk in the Spirit? How can we know this kind of thing? Here's my first question. Do you get your feelings hurt? Do you? Do you get your feelings hurt? I'm going to ask this question. If Christ is really first place, why are we even talking about how we feel? Isn't that interesting? Right here is the weakness of modern-day Christianity as we focus on our feelings rather than the Lord. You go to the bookstores and they have all kinds of books that are dealing with your feelings. That's why Joel Osteen is so popular, because he's talking about your feelings. And people are very interested in how they feel. Do you get your feelings hurt? Let me ask you this in regards to that. Do you ever get angry over what someone has said about you or to you? Do you ever get angry? Question, what does it matter if you're dead? If you're truly dead, as it talks about in this verse here, and Christ is alive and we are dead, what does it matter? Somebody said something about us, we're dead. Makes no difference to them. If they're saved, they're with the Lord and they're having a great time. Amen. By the way, that's what should be down here. Do we ever get angry? Well, probably. Do you ever get depressed over issues? Boy, I'll tell you some of the things going on today. As you look out, if you watch the news very much, you're going to, oh my goodness, what are they going to do next? It's so stupid. Why do they want to defund the police? Why do they want to get rid of all of this? Why do they want to do all these stupid, dumb things? I mean, you can get depressed over that. But if you're dead, what matters? Seriously, if you're dead, does it really matter? Here's one that I think happens a lot with teenagers. Do you get hurt when someone leaves you out? There's something going on, and you have been left out. That's happened to all of us. It's a part of life. But do we get all hurt and bent out of shape because of that? Again, I ask the question, what's it matter if you're dead? What difference does it make if you're dead? If Christ lives in us, why do we get upset about something concerning a dead man? What does it matter if you are dead? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Anything short of that is frustrating the grace of God. So my first thought is, how can we determine if we're truly walking in the Spirit, thinking of this in chapter number 5? And my first question is, do you get your feelings hurt? I'm going to go to the other side of the thing right now. And my second question is very simply this. Are you critical? Are you critical? Are you quick to criticize? This is interesting because sometimes we get critical of those who are critical. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever seen how they just get upset about this and that and the other thing? I'm being upset at them about being upset. What we see in others, we're often blind to ourselves. But if we were to be questioned about it, we would justify ourselves because we aren't guilty this time. I think about the time the Lord was confronted with a woman taken in adultery. And you know what he did? He didn't condemn her. He reversed the accusation against her accusers. They're the ones that were coming with a critical heart, and they're coming with a critical heart and making accusation against her when they had things in their own life. Are we critical? By the way, if you're dead, how can you criticize? If Christ's living in you, as he wants to live in you, is he critical? When we see that someone has sinned, do we make remarks to other people, or we just simply do what the Bible says and go to them in love? God allows us to see things in people's lives, not to be critical, not to be mean or mean-spirited. But he tells us in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Are we critical? Are our words edifying? I'm going to use another word with an E, or electrifying. And I don't mean electrifying. Maybe I ought to say electrocuting. Our words, are they like that? We need to remember that our words reveal our heart. In the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What's he telling us? Our words reveal our heart. But a dead man doesn't speak. He doesn't speak. But if Christ is living in us, and if we sincerely believe he lives within us, then it will be his words, if we so please, that are spoken. It will be his thoughts, his intents. And it will not be that which is seeking to destroy somebody, but something that's seeking to build them. And too often in our criticalness, it's not about helping somebody. It's about making ourselves look better. And what is that? It's walking in the flesh. Maybe you're asking the question, how in the world can I die? How can I die to self? It's interesting God uses that word. How do we die physically? What happens? Basically, it comes down to two things, maybe three. One is sickness. I've known people that they were so sick that they were looking forward to dying. They wanted to. My father-in-law, I don't know how many times, asked me to come over and pray with him that God would take him home. He meant business. He was so tired of the way he felt. How do we die? Sickness comes upon us. And when you and I get so sick of living the way we do, we can let death come. I believe also we find that there are accidents that take lives. There are things that happen, they come out of nowhere. They're not expected. Perhaps there's some sort of traumatic event over which you have no control. And what happens? We just say, "Here, Lord, it's yours. It's yours." Let me give an illustration. Years ago, the floor here was laid. It had the subfloor on it. The walls were just 2x6s. There was no ceiling on top. There was no trusses. And during that day, by hand, I'd gone out here, and I had backfilled all the around the cement blocks. That evening, a rain began, and I mean it rained. We're in the midst of a missions conference, and Brother Kimmel, he's preaching, and we walk outside, and there is a gully running right through where our lobby's at now, where water was coming in. Somebody walked along in the back there, and they saw down below there was a hole in the wall. It had blown it in. Somebody got to inspect them a little bit more, and they walked over to the side. And this wall over here, except where the pilasters are at, had blown in. Man, I was upset. I was in a position of frantic. And Brother Kimmel, bless his heart, he said, "Gene, doesn't God know what he's doing? It's no big deal. It's his wall. He'll do what he wants." He sure did. And he really sought to teach me a lesson that night. There are traumatic events that come. We have no control. What do? There's nothing we can do. We got to give it to the Lord. How can I die? We die when we get so sick and tired of the way that we're doing it that we finally say, "Oh God, I give up. I've been trying and trying and trying, and I'm messing up. Here, take me, use me." An accident, a traumatic event comes. What happens? Nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do. How can we die? We come to that spot where we say, "I'm finished." It's what Jesus said. And Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. And by the way, when it's all the Lord's and He is living within us completely, you know what happens? People say all they want to do, all they want to say about us, it kind of rolls off our back like water off a duck. Why is that? Because it's not about us anymore. It's about Him. And by the same token, we're not the person who's doing that to somebody else because we have a critical spirit. And so what's the greatest thing you and I can do, I believe, is to die to self. I want to give you a word of caution here before we end tonight. Our flesh has a way of resurrecting itself. Have you noticed that? I died to a problem yesterday, and today I've got the same thing over again. How many say, "Preacher, I understand that"? The rest of you must be lying. We'll have a altar call in a bit. No, seriously, we have that problem. It has a way of resurrecting itself. The flesh is very strong. That's why the Apostle Paul on one occasion said, I die daily, because of something that happens over and over and over again. And so when that flesh is alive, what do we need to do? Oh God, I'm not. It's not for me, it's yours. And so it's nevertheless, I live, I'm alive, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Anything short of that is a frustration of the grace of God. That's the way God wants us. Just trust him. And too often, we're too alive to self. Isn't that true? And so it's a matter of dying. The other day, my wife and I, we got in the car and we went up to the cemetery. We don't say much because our emotions are pretty heavy. And if I say something, she'll cry. If she says something, I'll cry. And we cry anyways. I'm standing there looking and I'm thinking, under this pile of dirt, there's a body of a man that I love. And no matter what I say or think, it's not bothering him one bit. It's not hurting him at all. How's that? He's dead. Somebody said, don't you believe that dead people know what's going on? I hope not. Actually, I thought heaven was pretty perfect, and if they know that, it's really a mess. I think they're so in tune with the Lord that they could care less in some regards. About the only thing that probably happens when it comes to you and I is when we enter into the presence of glory and they're there to wait for us and welcome us in. It's an amazing thing. When we're dead, nothing matters. That's where God wants us to be spiritually.